Gospel according to Luke, the fifth chapter.
Glory
to you, O Lord. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and Jesus asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from the one true God who creates, redeems, and sustains us this morning and always. Amen. It was wonderful this week to sit down after what felt like quite a while between our family vacation and visiting other congregations with our congregational renewal group to sit down for Bible study on Wednesday morning. We sat around the table in the lounge and said a prayer, as we always do, and we reflected on the powerful praise in Psalm 138. And of Paul's reminder to the early church in Corinth of the resurrection promise. And we had a lively discussion of this much beloved story that we read this morning from Luke's gospel. Jesus, beset on all sides by a crowd of eager listeners, seeks a better vantage point from which to teach them. He comes upon a group of fishermen, including a few he had met before, and asks them to take him out on Lake Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee, as we know it, so that he could teach from their boats. These fishermen, having finished a total bust of a night at sea, acquiesce and take Jesus with them. And after he has taught, Jesus tells them to put in their nets. In spite of their having just fished the whole area with little to no success, they do as he says and reap a reward far beyond their imagining. In short, these fishermen have the best day of business they have ever had. And they are all amazed. Simon Peter even falls to his knees, humbling himself before Jesus. Jesus looks at them, tells them not to be afraid, and sets a new course for their lives. And as soon as they touched shore, they dropped everything and followed Jesus. It's a powerful story, and we had a powerful discussion, and if you'd like to know more about just how that discussion went, I invite you to join us at 9 o'clock every Wednesday morning in the lounge here at CTK for Bible study. While each of us offered our own impressions or reflections on this text, we did all share one question in common about this much beloved story of the calling of Jesus' first disciples. And that question was, what happened to the fish? Seriously, what happened to the fish? Later that day, I had the privilege to lead worship and to preach at our Wednesday night service. As you may or may not know, we pastors have changed our rotation to a monthly rotation so that each one of us takes on the task of leading worship while the other teaches confirmation for an entire month, and then we switch. It felt good to be with the midweek worshiping group again, the first week Wednesday of this month. We prayed and we sang, as we often do, and I preached about our Corinthians text from last week when Paul talked about the necessity of love in everything that we do. Specifically, I preached about how complicated it can be to spend our money these days in intentional ways that reflect our ethical and moral beliefs, and that serve, even in the most mundane ways, such as grocery shopping, as true acts of love. And if you'd like to know more about all of that, I invite you to join us right here in this room on Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock. Now, I don't know if it's because of the discussing and the preaching I did earlier this week, or if it's the current news cycle these last several days, but whatever it is, it's got me in an economical frame of mind. You see, there is much to be made about the miracle of these fish appearing from what only hours before had seemed to be a barren sea. There's much to be made about what this miracle means to us, to Jesus, to the fishermen. There's much to be made about what this miracle means in the framework of the story Luke is telling. There is much even to be made about the symbolism of the fish. And frankly, folks, being an English major myself with a master's degree in theology, this stuff is right in my wheelhouse. And yet, I can't help but get caught up in the numbers of it all. The good old dollars and cents. You see, as astounding as this expression of God's abundance is, this epic haul of fish, as amazing as this example of Jesus' power over the natural world is, I can't help but find myself caught, to use Luke's word, by how these fishermen respond. I don't know about you folks. Hey, look, I remembered my water this time. I find it pretty incredible that these fishermen, having just had the best day of their professional lives, pulled their filled to near sinking boats to shore and then walked away. Walked off into the unknown to follow this teacher. Now, maybe it's a little easier for us to understand this from this vantage point, all dressed up on a Sunday morning, seated nicely in our pews to see why the disciples would make this kind of a decision. But let's be honest. What would we say the rest of the week? The power of the free market, consumer-driven capitalist economy in the United States is one of the most persuasive powers in this world. So powerful, in fact, that it can push corporations and government bodies time and time again to prioritize profits over people, production over progress. It is so powerful that it can convince our own elected leaders that peace isn't nearly as important or lasting as the prospect of a sweet real estate deal. It is so powerful that it even convinces many of our churches to prioritize money over mission, numbers over new life. So naturally, why wouldn't we wonder about what happened to that miraculous haul of fish? Makes sense. Walking away from record profits just doesn't seem to make any sense. And yet they do, these fishermen. They walk away. And isn't that the real miracle? Yes, of course, it is astounding what Jesus can do to the sea, to these fish. But what about how he changes the hearts of people? What about how Jesus speaks to these fishermen, the crowd gathered, the religious and non-religious alike? What about how Jesus moves into our own lives and makes a change in how we see the world? As I said, I'm an English major. I know more about poetry than I do about political systems. I know more about the economy of a sentence than I do about actual economics. But I'm also a Christian, a follower of Jesus, dare I say it, on my best days, hopefully even a fisher of people. And even still, I can't help but marvel at the risk these men have taken by dropping their nets, their full to the brim nets, to follow this stranger, this holy man, this teacher, to take this road of mission, of ministry, in the face of record profits, to prioritize their calling over their cash. Folks, numbers are real. Money isn't just pretend. I'm aware of this. I know you are too. And certainly so were Simon Peter and John and James and their whole crew and even Jesus. But they aren't everything, these dollars and cents. They shouldn't be anyway, for us, for our church, for our country. Surely money is necessary, but it can't be what it's all about. The promise of more cannot be what drives us, what propels the movement of our lives, our faith, our politics, our very essence as a people. I may be an English major, but I am not naive. I know that money is real, that it is necessary and unavoidable, but as the Apostle Paul taught us last week, without love, we are what? Anybody remember? Nothing. Without love, we are nothing. And surely that extends to our dollars and coins and dividends and earnings. We must always prioritize our calling as Christians over our functioning as cogs in the economic system. Our love for one another, our dedication to the purpose God has set for us, our care for all of God's children must come before the markers of our own financial success. So let us keep to the work that lies ahead of us, the road Jesus is calling us to wander, the people Jesus is bidding us to serve. What happened to the fish? I don't know, folks. It's a fun question, to be sure, but I'm not so sure it matters. The real question, The question the disciples face, the question Luke seems intent on answering, the question we must ask ourselves is, what's next for us? My dad once told me a story that after a children's sermon one Sunday morning, a little kid who was unfamiliar to him looked up at my dad in his long white alb and his colorful stole, grabbed hold of his hand and said, "What do we do now, Jesus?" I don't know what happened to the fish, but that seems like a better question for us this Sunday morning. Don't you think? A better question for us to be asking today, tomorrow, and in the weeks ahead. What do we do now, Jesus? What do we do now? Amen.